Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to be talking about quitting, giving in versus giving up. Pretty cool topic, right? Something we all deal with. Do you find it hard to quit, give up, or admit failure? Is it because you are hyper-competitive, hard-headed, or unaware when enough is enough? Can you think of a time you threw in the towel and now you regret that decision? Now, can you think of a time when you should have given in a little sooner than you did? What's the right answer? Well, I wish I had that. Each situation is different, but knowing yourself, your wants, your needs, and your limitations may make finding the answer much easier. Ready to go on an exploration with me? The good news is, no matter which scenario you identify with, you have options. Options to think about it differently and options to react in a different manner. See, we are always learning and growing. As new challenges are presented and we problem solve to find the answer, we're growing. As we age and experience life and love and loss that goes with it, we're growing. As we change and cope, finding new ways to connect and belong to the world around us, we are growing. It's important that we're always mindful of this part of life because it means we don't always have all the answers. Well, let's get this on the table right now. We will never have all the answers, right? So it means that sometimes we make decisions based on the limited information and experiences that we have at that time. The only way we can evolve is to take something away from every situation, learn from it, and grow. Quitting is a tough subject because we're taught from an early age to never quit and never give in, which might be the most dangerous advice you can give. You won't win every fight. You aren't supposed to. So to never give in means more loss and more emotional pain as you come to this realization. So let's first talk about giving up, throwing in the towel, calling it quits. How easy is that for you? Are you quick to give up on yourself and your abilities? What does that internal talk track sound like? Oh, Kendall, you know you hate to sweat. You just aren't made for the elliptical and all that huffing and puffing. You're a creative. You need to save your energy for your mind. Right? You know what I mean. Can you justify quitting on yourself before you give up on someone else? Think about that question. Can you justify quitting on yourself before you give up on someone else? The core of your being always needs to be strengthened. It carries the weight of everything you want and need to do. Having a strong core means you can withstand the pressure of things not going your way. Having a strong core means you can bend and be flexible when you need to be. An important muscle of our core is our self-concept and confidence. How important do you think self-confidence is? The more confident you become, the more you'll be able to calm that voice inside your head, the one that says, "I can't do it." You'll be able to unhook from your thoughts and take action that's in line with your values. As your confidence grows, you'll find yourself more driven to stretch your abilities. What if thoughts will still arise? What if I fail? What if I embarrass myself? But with self-assurance, those thoughts will no longer be paralyzing. Instead, you'll be able to listen to self-doubt objectively. And instead of believing it and automatically shutting down like we do, you'll be able to evaluate and find an appropriate and more uplifting response. Don't listen to that. You got this. You go, right? Those internal pep talks, which are so great. But when we get lost in that negative self-talk, it's very difficult to find that coach or cheerleader, right? But the more we strengthen that confidence, the more we'll be able to look at that dead in the eye and challenge it. Now, building self-confidence doesn't mean you won't fail, but confidence will give you the perspective you need to evaluate, learn, and grow from failure. It will give the core strength to separate emotionally and know that it's not a personal failure. Instead, it's an opportunity to give it another go, embodying what you've just learned. By being more willing to fail, you'll actually succeed more, because you're not waiting for everything to be 100% and perfect before you act. Taking more shots mean you'll make more. You know, there's tons of quotes from famous people, famous successful people that had failures. You know, there's a lot of memes going on out there. I think there's one from Michael Jordan about actually how many shots he took that he didn't make. But he wouldn't have made all the ones he did if he didn't take a risk. Self-confidence will also help you strengthen empathy. Did you know that? When you aren't hyper-focused on your own insecurities, you're able to notice someone else and sense their emotions, giving you a chance to connect and encourage someone else. Giving to someone emotionally may be just the boost that you need to keep you out of your own head. Right? When you're focusing on someone else, how can you worry about your own problems? So when you're stewing and you're ruminating over the same thing over and over again, get out of the house, go connect, go help someone else. I love doing groups. I know I've said that before. But support groups really allow people to show empathy for other people. And by showing empathy for other people, it strengthens your core and helps you reframe the negative to the positive. So for instance, you're having a bad day. You're stuck in your own head. You can't quite see the positive side of things. You come to group. You're listening and you're growing and you're listening to other people share, and someone shares their struggle. And immediately you turn off your problems and you start listening to theirs. And then your empathetic brain kicks in and you start really wanting to encourage that person and support that person, whether it's in body language, in focus, in the way that you're listening. And then immediately you stop worrying about your own problems and you start feeling better, because you're actively listening and helping someone else. So it is a great way to get out of your own head. Now, self-confidence doesn't just happen overnight. You may need to rewire some hardwired ideas you've adopted from your childhood, ones that you've carried with you all of these years. So be patient and be kind to yourself. It may take a deep breath and a daily pep talk to get you going. Daily pep talk. Here are some other ideas you could adopt. Try writing down a favorite confidence quote and put it somewhere you'll see it often. Mine is, and I've got it on a towel, I've got it on a magnet, I've got it on the web. Mine is, "She stood in the middle of a storm, and when the wind didn't blow her away, she adjusted her sails." So to me, that means seek opportunity. Be intentional. Don't just wait for the wind to kick back up. Adjust your sails and find the wind, right? It also, to me, means if the wind's blowing, there could be a storm blowing. So not to be afraid of the storm, but use your core and just barrel through, right? Find a way around and to navigate that storm. You could also find a photograph of a time you felt confident and super successful. It could be a graduation photo or a picture of you accomplishing something really cool or anything else that resonates with you. Hang it on your fridge, on your bathroom mirror, and reflect on the steps that it took to get to that point. You know, remind yourself, go back to that happy moment when you had it all together and you really figured out a way to succeed. That can give you a boost of confidence to help you sort of power through a situation. Also, try to create a list of things you would like to do that may require a little more confidence to pull off. Look at each item and evaluate what specific thing is preventing you from taking a chance on that. Which one would you attempt first? Make a plan to eliminate the obstacles before jumping right in. That's why you want to have a plan. You know, a lot of people can create an A to Z, Z mean where you want to go, but they fail to write down all the little steps along the way, all the rungs of the ladder to get there. Some of those might be a little more challenging. So by getting them out in the open, taking a look at them, really evaluating what you need to do to get to the next level might be a great way to do. Remember, it's a process. You don't wake up with self-confidence. Usually, self-confidence comes with knowledge. And knowledge comes with self-discovery. So if you aren't willing to do the work, you can't just wake up one day and feel confident. So a lot of people will say, I feel very confident in my job. But personally, in personal relationships, I don't feel very confident. So in the giving up and giving in, they're more apt to give up in a situation where they don't feel very confident. Why are you more confident at work? Many times it's because you've gone through product training, technical training. You feel very confident in your ability to do that job. There's no manual to life. We don't get that type of training. It comes from trials and tribulations. You're tuning in tonight, meaning you want to do more. You want to learn more. You want to seek more. That's great. That's product knowledge, product training, product of your life. So that's important. Doing all that work and really identifying your areas of struggle, your areas of lack of confidence, and then peeling back those layers. Why? Why do I stumble on this one thing? What could I do to get over that? Maybe it's in a social situation, you don't feel confident carrying on a conversation. Maybe you're afraid that you'll get into a conversation that you aren't as familiar on the topics. Well, sounds like to me, with a little research, maybe a little buzzwords to get you into a conversation might be helpful. Maybe you should study more. Maybe you should pick a couple of topics and lead a conversation instead of just waiting for somebody to stumble on your particular topic. Book clubs are great for that because typically you are reading a book and everyone is reading the same book. And so you can come to that club and that discussion with your perspective of that book. That's a great way to foster communication. So if you're uncomfortable getting into a conversation where it could be any topic, you know, you're praying that they talk about this one thing because that's where you did all your research and it goes in another way, right? But doing something that's more specific, like a book club, focusing on one topic might really help give you the confidence to branch out to multiple topics. So that's just one idea. Matthew Jones from Self-Development in the Modern World lists 13 habits you need to immediately give up if you want astonishing confidence. Astonishing, right? So number one, engaging in negative self-talk. We just talked about this. Sure, at one point in your life, that mean inner coach motivated you. But now it's holding you back and lowering your self-esteem. That mean coach can turn into those past voices, right, from our childhood, those things that maybe told us we weren't good enough, we couldn't do that, we'll never amount to anything. For whatever reason, we packed those away in our subconscious, and sometimes they can rear their ugly head as that mean inner coach. Number two, caring too much about what other people think. Seeking approval from other people reinforces the idea that you need external validation. The fact is that you have insufficient internal love. To build yourself up, stop trying to meet other people's expectations and start appreciating yourself. I do a lot of talking about this as it relates to social media. And I've talked to a lot of young women about selfie love, right? The overproduction and posting of selfies in order to get validation. And, you know, so many people, including myself, we are guilty of needing validation. And sometimes it's a habit, right? Like, you know the answer, you know how you feel, but for whatever reason, you have to reach out to someone else to get their feedback, right? I always set Matt up. He's always laughing at me because instead of asking his true opinion, I sort of set up the question as, how bad does this look on me? Instead of, does this look bad on me? I want to know how bad it looks, as if I already know it looks bad. So as you men can all attest, there is no right way to answer that question. How about wasting time on activities that don't bring value? To build confidence, you need to develop a sense of pride in your competence. Invest in yourself rather than indulging in temporary escapes. Now, he used Netflix, right? We've all done our share of binge watching, and sometimes we do need to check out and just, you know, check out mentally and just binge watch on something where we don't have to use our own mind and our own thoughts. I know I have to do that from time to time. But when that does get in the way of you investing time in yourself, then that can become a problem. So with everything, it becomes a healthy balance. Seeing only shortcomings rather than opportunities for growth. Focusing on limitations only builds their strength. Reframe all shortcomings as areas for growth, and then start taking action to create meaningful progress. If you just take a shortcoming and say, well, that's it, that's the hand I've been dealt, just, you know, that's my limitation, that's what I got to go with, then you'll always stay at that level. But if you say, hey, I got this, I might have to work a little bit harder on this area. I might have to do things a little bit differently to compensate. That's problem solving and getting past that and really using it as a launching point, right? How about filling your life with screens and stimulations rather than quiet introspection? Whew, I think we can all attest to that. Stop overstimulating brain by staring at screens all day. All brilliant minds read and reflect. It's time for you to build a foundation for success and confidence instead of binging on superficial entertainment. Well, I work on the web, so I have a gazillion tabs open at any given moment, and I am guilty from clicking around and filling up any moment with something jumping out at me. I just walked through Barnes & Noble this past weekend, and all these books, it was a really large Barnes & Noble, by the way, and I felt a little guilty. Boy, there's all of this knowledge, there's all these ideas, there's all these perspectives, and I don't have any of them. So it did make me want to stop and pick up a book. So again, healthy balance. Try to find some times to do that. How about constantly reliving the past? No matter how good or how bad things are in your past, they've already happened. Bring your attention to the present moment and start building a better future. Eckhart Tolle, I always echo him, talks about living in the now. We can spend a lot of time ruminating the past, hashing it out, trying to find a why, constantly going over it, giving it so much energy and attention. We can do the same thing with brainstorming in the future. Oh, if things were just better, if I could just get here, if I could just do this, then everything would be great now. Spending too much time in any of those locations can definitely still your today, right? What's happening right now? One of the techniques, and I've said it before, he uses is to really notice your body, feel your body, become present, wiggle your fingers, move your toes, roll your shoulders, take in big breaths. That's why yoga always is constantly focusing on breathing and knowing your body so that you can become present, right? How about anxiously anticipating the future, right? The only way to create the future you want is to be effective in the now. We just said that. Fantasies about the future don't matter unless you're active in this moment. So you can't get to all those milestones if you don't activate it today. So today really does count. It helps you get to the next level. So be mindful of what you're doing today. How about asking others for their opinions before formulating your own? Become the expert of your own experience. Take your own stance and then seek out alternative perspectives with openness to new information instead of always putting yourself in a passive role. That can go both ways. You know, asking someone to help or to help you form your opinion, right? You sort of want to come to the meeting with something, some sort of meat to the project, but then also not being flexible and open to constructive criticism, right? It can take a village. And by sharing and learning, you're growing. What about focusing too much on the details and not reflecting enough on the big picture? Find a balanced perspective so you can be involved in your current work, know where it's going, and to see how far you've come. That's important. I talk about digging the ditch versus looking out at the horizon. You need a little bit of both, you know, and in some cases, you can't be the navigator and the ditch digger. Depends on what you're doing. But at some points, you're independent. It's your world. You got to do it both. So just make sure as you're digging the ditch, take a peek at the horizon every now and then so that you can make sure you're navigating in the right location. Looking to external objects, people, or things to alleviate internal wounds. People with real confidence are aware of their emotional pain, and they actively address it in therapy or coaching so they don't get caught in defensive mechanisms and temporary pleasures that don't address the underlying problem. If you have baggage and you're just not able to let that go, self-medicating, procrastinating, sort of burying that deep does not make it go away. It actually is like putting on concrete boots as you walk. It just keeps you stuck. If you want to get further down the road, you need to address that now. Break off the concrete boots, really seek some professional attention, and talk through these issues. Therapy works for everyone. It is great to really talk to someone, gain a different perspective, and sort of unpack some of that baggage. Stressing over small problems that don't really matter. Stop creating problems and building unnecessary stress. It only drains you from the valuable energy that you could be investing in your personal and professional growth. You can't save the world. Take off your cape. Concentrate on one thing at a time. If you have a mound of obstacles in front of you, if you just sit there and look at the mound, right? It's only going to stay a mound. If you start picking that away, chipping it away, grabbing one problem at a time and solving it, before you know it, it will be a small pile that you can step right over. Thinking about faults, regrets, and failures instead of practicing gratitude. More people aren't exactly who they want to be. The people who are happy and confident are the ones who appreciate what they have right now, which allows them to continue growing and building a satisfying life. If the carrot is too far down the road, you will never be satisfied. You will always be working for what comes next. How about, and I love to goal set, how about have your goals, but celebrate those milestones along the way? You need that feeling of success. If you can't accomplish a small milestone, you never get that gratitude and that appreciation. So build in those, remember when I said A to Z and all the little rungs in between, make sure that you celebrate some of those rungs. Wasting time comparing yourself with others. Get off Instagram. There's no point envying other people when you could be discovering your own value. The world has plenty of opportunity to go around. And the more effort that you put in refining your skills, the more confidence you will have and the better life you'll live. Don't keep up with the Joneses, because the Joneses on social media are sometimes fictitious, right? Most people are only going to put out what you want, what they want you to see. So a lot of those goals are unrealistic. Worry about you and your abilities. You can be the best you, and giving it 110% is all you can do. If you give it 110%, that's giving it all towards your life, and you will start making those milestones. Don't compare yourself to others. You have value. So let me ask you this. Are you competitive with yourself as well as with others? How hard is it for you to let go? Does this sound familiar? With a little more hard work and focus, I can make it happen. If he or she would just listen to me, everything would be great. I can't give up now. I've already invested too much time and energy and resources. How many more attempts will you make before you realize this isn't going to work? What kind of sign do you need? What if it wasn't meant to happen? Or this isn't your fight? This isn't your fight. What if it didn't matter how much time, effort, energy you expelled? It just wasn't going to happen. Would that make it easier to let go? Well, I wish those magic eight ball games actually worked, but they don't. You may have to listen and learn from each step and then follow your gut. Let's take a moment and think about how much time you could get back if you would have just followed your gut. Maybe we should actually take a moment of silence for that one. Surrender brings peace, leaves the door open for hope, change, and new perspectives, and actually helps usher abundance into our lives. Consider the following distinctions I found from Tanya Carol Richardson, a professional intuitive and spiritual author. Okay? Consider these when you're questioning whether to give up or surrender. Surrender feels peaceful and is often accompanied by a sense of relief. And giving up feels hopeless, like defeat. When you throw up your hands in frustration with a creative project and you throw away all your materials, it can leave you feeling dark and empty and self-shaming. Surrendering might look like walking away from the project for a day, week, month, or even a whole year. Taking a break is always a relief. After you've given the project some breathing room, you might look over your notes and know exactly how to proceed. Even if you walk away from the project forever, surrender feels much less like failure and allows you to walk away gradually to better process the experience and your emotions. Surrender feels moderate or balanced, and giving up feels extreme or intense. Giving up feels intense and extreme because it's a black and white solution. Sometimes you've outgrown a person or a situation, or the person or situation has become so toxic that you have to walk away forever. But most things in life exist in a gray area. If you have a friend or family member who has an addiction issue but is not in recovery, you might surrender by distancing yourself from them while leaving the door open to change and hope. It's amazing how drastically people and situations can evolve with time. Surrender is an intellectual decision made over time after careful consideration, and giving up is often fueled by a strong emotional reaction. Have you ever said something very cutting to a person you cared about in the heat of a moment and later regretted that comment? It's best to wait until our emotions feel neutral before deciding whether to give up forever or temporarily surrender. If you've been questioning a relationship in your life, take a few weeks, mull it over, and then calmly look at the situation before taking action. Surrendering is stepping to the side so the universe can work its magic. And giving up says, I don't believe in magic and miracles. If there's a situation in your life in which you feel really stuck, the change you're seeking might come only after surrendering. Sometimes it's only when we surrender to the fact that we might not get something that it actually floats into our lives. And if you don't get what you want, surrendering allows room for something else, something wonderful, to enter in place of what you originally decided. Surrendering is acknowledging that you have limited power over a person or situation, and giving up could be a desperate attempt to exert power and protect your heart. Most humans like action and don't necessarily like to wait and be patient. So forcing a conclusion like giving up feels temporarily satisfying, but in the long run, it can feel like a hollow victory. Giving up on dreams that have been dear to our hearts for a very long time is devastating. It may seem like a way to protect our hearts, but more often than not, it leaves us feeling exhausted. Surrendering is an acknowledgement that we have limited power, which can encourage us to use our free will and power in a more productive way. Surrendering is admitting that you might not have all the answers, and there could be another way. And giving up shuts down new possibilities. One way to approach surrender is to say, let's look at this from a new angle. It may not be the object of your desire you need to give up on, but the way that you've gone about trying to acquire it. Surrendering always involves putting something on the back burner so you can reevaluate not only your dreams, but also your methods. You may not need a new dream, just a new way of seeking it. Surrender invites the universe to bring grace, new people, and new opportunities into your life. And giving up can block some of the flow of new things into your life. When you give up on something, it's like turning off a water faucet. You're telling yourself and the universe that you are no longer interested. It's a powerful act of free will, but remember, if you give up on something, you can always change your mind. Surrender involves continuing to take action steps when appropriate, while giving up means shifting all your energy elsewhere. If a couple had been trying to conceive naturally for years and then spent thousands of dollars on fertility treatments with no success, they might surrender their hope of conceiving a child. Surrendering could look like researching adoption options while continuing to do the baby dance, as they call it on the mommy chat boards. Surrendering shows you're open to this being merely a timing issue, and giving up says, it's now or never. Maybe you really want to own a home, an apartment, or a piece of real estate, but for 2 years, you've not been able to come up with a down payment, or you've been looking, but you just can't find the appropriate place. Giving up on the dream forever can make you feel like a victim, which is very depressing and disempowering. Surrendering says you're open to the fact that you will own a home someday, but that things aren't coming together just yet. Wait for divine timing, which often brings perfect opportunities that exceed your wildest dreams. I hope you're seeing the distinction between giving up and giving in. If you bristle up and say, I'm not a quitter, I'll keep on trying no matter what. It's the no matter what that can be the most damaging to you and the people you love. Knowing yourselves and your situation and your limitations are the keys. Consider making a list of all the impossible situations you're trying to manage right now. Instead of just burying your head and trying harder, be willing to dig into the why. Why can't you let go and surrender? Just as you would make a pros and cons list to make any decision, add another column shedding light on what you could gain by moving on. This could be really eye-opening. It's important to see it from all angles. Our perception can get very narrowed when we're only looking through one potentially distorted lens. Let's go over it again just to be sure we have the distinction. The two phrasal verbs give up and give in can be roughly defined as the act of admitting defeat. However, there is a slight difference between the two. Give up means to cease making an effort, whereas give in means to yield under insistence or entreaty. This is the main difference between the two. Giving up is easy. It's usually associated with a half-hearted effort, lack of resilience, little forethought, and most of the time, it's premature, right? Giving in is the decision that something isn't worth continuing. You've given it all you've got, weighed the pros and cons, have come to a place of acceptance that this just isn't your time, your fight, or your right. And you make an educated decision to move on. Giving in is creating a healthy boundary and the prime example of growth. It's difficult to admit you don't have all the answers. You can't always repair every situation. And giving in means you redirect all that energy in a new and positive direction. Remember in the beginning we talked about you're always growing. You're always growing and learning. And if you're not, maybe that's a place to start. Take a look at those obstacles. Take a look at the difference between those two, and what side of the fence do you typically fall on? How can we strengthen your core? Evaluate the resistance in your life. That's your challenge. Are you not trying hard enough, or do you need to redirect your energy in a new and more positive direction? Free yourself from the fear of failure and learn when and where your efforts will have a greater impact. Do you think you can do that? I know you can. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear.